You're listening to The Dollop on the All Things Comedy Network. Now, each week, I, Eyelash Haver, owner of dogs, man who enjoys a turkey sandwich, Dave Anthony, reads a story from American history to his friend,
Gareth Reynolds, who has no idea what the topic is going to be about.
Now, what's wrong with me letting people know who I am?
The because things are just face, not cool or important, so it's
they
just
are important.
Dumb.
There's someone out there right now that just was like, I like a turkey sandwich.
This guy's, but that this still guy's is great. Not, it's not, a, nobody's going to be like, hey, you hear that Dave Anthony, he likes a turkey sandwich. No,
there's
that'll
people,
never be related.
There's people without eyelashes.
So what, you're better than them?
I'm just separating myself. That's just saying we have different
I think it's a rude move then.
We have different lives.
Well, it's probably just not meant for the intro of this show in particular. You could just do another show that's all about you, and you could just list off all these useless things. And I do mean useless things that you've mentioned about yourself over the past couple of years since you've started this bit that is just...
Unless somebody wants to bring me a turkey sandwich.
Bring you the version of you that lives in your head is
the
truly bizarre.
The real world
person. He is a king.
He's the real world. I think what it is you're just mad because people don't know a lot about you.
I'm very comfortable with that.
Disagree.
Very comfortable.
And called it, quote, his jam patch.
Jam patch?
I'm the fucking hippo guy.
Dave, okay.
My name's Gary.
My name's Gary.
Wait, is it for fun?
And this is not going to become the Tickly Podcast.
Okay.
This is like anarchy.
On a five-part coefficient.
My room's a place.
Now hit him with the puppy.
You both present sick arguments.
No sleep till hippo.
No sleep till hippo.
Action part.
Hi, Gary.
No.
Nicely done, my friend.
No. No.
That was the old one that we used that had the fin in it.
They both have fin in it.
The new one has fin in it,
too? Yeah, they both have it, yeah. Yeah, that somehow has made it through both versions.
That's weird.
Yeah, no, it's weird.
Can
we
talk about that?
Nothing to do with you. No, we talked about it on Twitter last night, so if people want to see our personal stances on my name and the origin story, they can just go on the Twitter.
And someone produced some interesting evidence.
Yeah, I don't think... all right. A buddy of mine named James Kirkland self-published a book called Friend of the Devil, The Bill Walton Mysteries. And it is so goddamn funny. And it's basically if Bill Walton and Dave Pasch, the guy that he calls games with, aside from calling games, also solved mysteries. And it's a hell of a read. So it's called The Bill Walton Mysteries, Friend of the Devil, James Kirkland.
Yeah, and I have a new podcast, by the way. It's about... The West Wing.
Right.
And me and writer Josh Olson, who is an Oscar-nominated writer, we sit here and we discuss The West Wing.
Do you do it here?
Every week we do it here.
Yeah.
And basically we talk about the show and how people in our political world have decided to adopt that sort of style of politics as if it's reality when it's a TV show.
That's crazy. And good. And good. Because also the stories you hear about Aaron Sorkin are like, he would just eat a bag of mushrooms and go write an episode. So that's... Actually, I support that. I shouldn't knock that.
Yeah.
And if you want to watch this, it's on the All Things Comedy YouTube channel.
Yeah. So check out West Wing Thing is the name of my other podcast. I think that's all. People keep telling me to say stuff and I always forget. That's my deal. We're brought to you in part by Policy Genius. Look, if someone relies on you for financial support, whether it's a child or an aging parent or even a business partner, you need life insurance. Life insurance, it gives you peace of mind. So if something happens to you, your loved ones, they're going to have a financial cushion to pay for things like rent, mortgage, loans, education, just everything, daily expenses. And usually life insurance gets more expensive as you age. So it start a policy soon rather than, you know, waiting on it. So look, head over to policygenius.com and answer a few questions about yourself. And in just a few minutes, you can work out how much life insurance coverage you need. And then you compare personalized quotes to find your best price. You could save 50% or more on life insurance by comparing quotes with Policy Genius. And they work for you. So Policy Genius works for you, not the insurance companies. So you can trust them to offer unbiased help and advocate for you at every step until you're covered. They don't add on extra fees. They don't sell your info to third parties. So head to policygenius.com to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. That's policygenius.com. We are brought to you in part by Zen Business. Look, a lot of people right now, the great resignation is on. They're like, they're out of their jobs. They're like, I don't want to do this anymore. I want more control over my life. I want a better life. I don't want a boss man telling me what to do. And so a lot of people are starting their own business. Zen Business is very, very helpful. They got an all-in-one platform. It guides you as a new entrepreneur through all the stuff you have to go through to get it going, an LLC or whatever you're going to set up. Got a super easy pricing structure. Starts as low as $49. And then look, they're not going to hit you with a bunch of hidden fees. It's all very straightforward. What they say is what it is. They have a very fast and simple business formation for LLC and other business structures. Worry-free compliance and annual filings. So you can stay in good standing with the state. You can secure an employee ID number so you can open a bank account, hire employees, protect your person, all that stuff. I wish I had had Zen Business when I started my business. It would have freed up all that time I spent on paperwork and all that stuff so I could have just focused on the business. So look, Zen Business has helped hundreds of thousands of people get their business off the ground by guiding them every step of the way and making it easier to launch a successful business. Get started today for as low as $49 at zenbusiness.com/dollop. That's zenbusiness.com/dollop.
13th century!
Whoa, what? Dad?
Yeah.
That's a far way to go.
I know. Crusaders returning from Europe.
Oh boy, yeah.
Going deep.
Yeah, okay.
Crusaders returning from Europe brought three important spices with them from the Holy Land.
Gold, frankincense, myrrh.
Cinnamon, cloves, and nutmeg.
Wow. Interesting.
They brought others, but those are the big three.
Okay.
Because there was obviously no refrigeration, the spices were used as preservatives to combine with fruit and meat to make protein last longer.
Interesting. Okay. So one more time, cinnamon, nutmeg.
And cloves.
Okay.
The spices were used in pies, which started in medieval Europe. So medieval Europe is pie ground zero.
I'll say this. Regular Europe's still strong pie territory.
Oh, yeah.
There's still...
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of pie.
Crust with meat in it.
There's a lot of pie action going on.
Yeah. 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 Okay.
Pie is an English word?
Yeah. Sure. I'm not at all surprised.
It was first written in the 14th century. The assumption is that it is the same word as magpie. Shortened or the same word.
Okay.
Magpies are known to collect all kinds of things in their nests.
Magpie, I told you about...
The eye eaters?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're eye attackers. They don't like eyes.
That's what Fosdyke told us.
Yeah.
You right after we
eyes
maybe
on the bucket. The
right
buckets.
After I maybe smoked a joint with him.
Yeah. And they magpies try to kill people in Australia, but everything tries to kill people in Australia. That's just there. Although you talk to an Australian, they're like, well, you guys have bears.
Yeah. You're like,
bears.
Yeah. But you're like, they're straightforward.
When's the last time a bear killed someone except for like a couple months ago?
Yeah. Yeah. Besides Grizzly Man, where you get to slowly hear a man's brain get eaten. Like,
well,
spaghetti.
Remember the bear in, up in Canada killed a guy. And his wife, and it turned out the guy was a fur.
Oh, yeah.
So then
right.
So everyone was like, oh, my God, some guy and his wife got killed by a bear. That's so sad. Like, and then they're like, oh, they're killing animals for fur. And you're like, oh, okay. So
there's Liam Neeson, the bear exists, is what happened.
So magpies build a nest with just all the stuff they can find. For instance, so this is what the pie was, right? So whatever you put in a pie, you just throw...
Oh, okay. Gotcha. All right.
For instance, a recipe from 1450 included, quote...
This is going to be disgusting, right?
Yeah, this is the worst thing ever. Here's a recipe. 1450. Beef sweat, capon...
Beef sweat is the second...
Sweat.
Oh.
So that's like the fat
okay.
from like the kidney of an animal. It's a fatty. It's a flavoring flat fat. Okay.
Hey, listen, all I need to hear was kidney.
Capons?
Capons?
Capons? I don't know what I don't know. It's not caper. I don't know. I've never heard of a capon. Okay. So, or capon. I'm sure it's capon. Hens, both mallard and teal ducks, rabbits, woodcocks, and large birds such as herons and storks, plus beef marrow, hard-cooked egg yolks, dates, raisin, and prunes.
Jesus
Christ.
Oh,
just yum. Ugh. Get me a fork.
Bringing up the end with prunes. Ugh. So you're just having a bird, cow, kidney, prune pie?
Yeah, you're putting everything in there.
You really are magpie.
Have you never wanted to have beef with stork, heron, and woodcock?
Oh. Well, I would love to try a teal duck or whatever it's called.
There was so much meat because for centuries, pie was a way of preserving food.
I don't know. So because it is because it's made into a pie, it lasts longer?
We'll get to it.
Okay.
It was a cool climate food that was baked in a serious thick crust, a thick wall of dough a couple of inches high.
Jesus. Okay.
So it's like a...
So they're not... This is not crust. This is protective layering.
That's right.
Right.
14th century chef wrote, quote,
"Help! We don't know what we're doing! Send help!
We all have diarrhea!
And then we're putting it in pies!"
Quote, "Have great pie shells, and to make them higher, crenellate them and reinforce them so they can support meat. Crenellated meant to decorate it with square notches like on the top of a castle wall."
What am I supposed to picture right now? A castle pie?
It's a big pie. I mean, it's a big enough pie that it can have a place for sentries and guards.
And a king inside. Put the king inside the pie.
The old word for pie crust, the original word for pie crust, was coffin, C-O-F-F-Y-N, which meant...
That's really appealing.
Yeah. Get what's in the coffin.
Hey, what's a slice of coffin?
It's full of birds.
There's kidney in it, too.
Sorry, I keep banging the table.
Yeah, quit banging
People
the
got
table.
Mad last a couple weeks ago and called me names.
Were they getting... They noticed?
Yeah, no, they were screaming at me on YouTube. I didn't look. They just told me. Right. Also, I don't care about you.
Okay. Well,
guy who screamed
at me.
I think
we did a really good job until then.
It was almost like medieval canning, except inside was almost always meat and outside a crust. So... It's a version of canning, is what they're doing, but it's a pie.
So, edible cans.
Well,
pie cans.
Usually, you weren't supposed to eat the crust.
So, I genuinely walk around all the time thinking of how spoiled we are.
Yeah.
But this is.
Oh yeah.
So they're making crusted pie. They're making pie, and they're like, "Don't eat the crust. Just eat."
That's right.
Melange of things we've
just
thrown
eat the garbage inside.
Yeah, just enjoy.
We picked up every animal we could find on the road, and we threw it in there.
Don't eat the crust. Just eat the trash bag in the middle. Okay.
Standing pies.
Standing pie. You can really. It opens up when you get inside. It was a two bedroom. That's gorgeous.
Standing pies were where there was no baking dish or pan used. The crust obviously had to be very thick to hold the pie.
It's not a pie. I mean, what? I'm like just thinking of like a deflated football with meat inside of it and crust now.
It's so the crust is there is definitely inedible for the standing pie. Standing pies were huge and could be eaten for up to 3 months.
Oh my God.
So now we're talking a giant, huge box
crust.
Yeah.
Like a home.
And you're just digging into that baby
don't eat the crust, you'll die.
Every night you're digging in and pulling out something. Oh, what do we have here? Oh, it's a heron. Oh my God, it's a chipmunk. Like you're just pulling out whatever awesome flavors in there. Yeah.
How big? I mean, how big is this?
It's huge because it has to go, because if they're eating on it for 3 months, every day, probably every meal.
It's a bus? How big is this fucking pie?
It's big. It's a big fucking pie, man.
Jesus Christ.
The largest pie
that
recorded.
That tells me the things I've never heard of before. What?
The largest recorded pie in the Middle Ages.
Oh, my God.
Was 9 feet in diameter and weighed around 165 pounds.
Holy shit. Wow.
So you just get to dig into that baby for months.
Oh,
so great, right?
No.
How is the pie today? The same as it was two
months
ago.
Imagine it at like month 8 when you're like, man, we're almost through it. We can almost make a new one. But here's what I don't understand.
Yeah.
Why couldn't you just, are they just overbuying ingredients? Why couldn't
Well, I
you
think
just...
if they go out and hunting or whatever and
right,
they have
no
a
waste,
big
right.
a bunch of kills, what are they going to do with it? You can either turn it into like a jerky situation or...
Right.
This is better because this is like, you know, more flavorful and meaty. And
yeah, no, you don't want to waste the
I don't
food.
Think there's anything great. For me, I've never had anything better than a 2.5 month old cooked blackbird.
Honey, we're going to the Anthony's. Hurry up. They got a pie that's only 4 months old.
So
he says there's a heron in it.
This big
pie. So
you're
just putting fish, chicken.
Yeah, whatever.
And beef in.
Yeah,
ugh.
The whole thing. It all goes in there.
It's like you're eating Noah's Ark.
It's all tasty. It's all yummy.
That's the term I'm thinking.
So this 9 foot in diameter pie contained 2 bushels of flour, 20 pounds of butter, 4 geese, 2 rabbits, 4 ducks. A geese is big.
Yeah.
Four woodcocks. What's a woodcock? Is it like a little woodland creature? Or is it a bird? Is it a bird?
Huh?
Is it a bird? I don't want to get dirty here.
I'm not trying to either. I haven't said anything.
I think
dirty.
A woodcock's probably a bird.
But it
sounds more like a little woodchucky fella.
I bet it's a bird.
Okay.
Yeah.
Six snipes, four partridges.
And we're not even going to talk about what the hell a snipe is?
A snipe's a kind of bird. It's a night bird.
You got no clue what you're talking about. A night bird.
Two cow tongues, two...
Oh, Jesus, God.
Curlews.
Even the cow tongues are like, we don't want to taste this.
Six pigeons and seven blackbirds.
Oh, my God.
I hope they took the feathers off. Let's just hope that.
That's a lot of stuff to put in a pie.
So they would cut a hole in the crust, take out what they wanted to eat, like, right, scoop it into bowls, then plug the hole back up.
With what?
When a standing pie came out of the oven, they'd pour melted butter through a hole in the crust to hermetically seal it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Since they were going to be eating the pie for weeks, they'd throw tons of ingredients in there for more flavoring. This highly seasoned combo of meat, suet, dried fruit became known as the mince pie.
Oh, man, mince pies.
God, the look on your face.
Oh,
you look
I
mad.
Them. I hate them. My grandmother, every Christmas, would make 800 of them.
Yeah.
And it would be everyone's job to just be like, I love them.
Yeah.
And you just be like, oh, why?
Yeah.
But I'm sure those mince pies that I had in comparison to what they were dealing with back then.
This is a whole different situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're also trying to survive, you know?
Yes. Important to have nutrients, for sure.
Because the spices in a mince pie had come from the Holy Land, they had a religious connotation. After a while, the Catholic Church started teaching that the three spices signified the gifts of the three wise men to the baby Jesus.
Well, I was a little ahead of that one.
Yeah.
I mean...
Yeah.
Okay, so...
So...
Hi, Jesus.
That's when mince pies...
Jesus piced.
Yeah, well, okay. That's when mince pies became part of a Christmas tradition.
Okay.
For Christmas, a mince pie was made in an oblong...
Have you ever had a mince pie?
No.
Yeah.
And I never will. That's the cool thing.
Yeah, it's a very good decision.
Thank you. For Christmas, a mince pie. I'm not a huge pie person. I love pumpkin pie. Like
I'm
I would fuck.
I'm not a
I would,
pie person. Either.
I would fuck a pumpkin pie if I could. Like I love pumpkin pie.
These are recorded episodes.
Yeah, yeah.
So
let's
careful with
put
what
it
you
out
say,
there.
Eyelash.
It's legal
in England. It is a lot of pie.
Yeah,
it's a lot
of
shepherd cottage mince.
No, I know, and it's the same. And they do it in Australia. They have a little bit of pie down
right,
there.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, I don't get it. Every time I've been in Australia, I've looked at the pie and been like, no, I don't want that.
Yeah.
And they put everything in there. There's all kinds of meats and different.
They have a McDonald's called Pie Face.
When I was a kid, I used to eat chicken pot pies, which is kind of a thing that's similar.
Yeah, that's pie-ish meat.
But
sure.
The last time I ordered chicken pot pie, I was soundly disappointed.
It's just
and I was
weird
like, why did I do this?
Know that it has a religious context because it seems so weird that it's pious.
How do you feel about yourself right now?
I don't feel good, and I thought I would.
For Christmas, a mince pie was made into an oblong shape to represent Christ's crib in the manger.
I mean,
And the top crust often had a pastry figure of the baby Jesus on top.
Sure, right. What an homage.
And I'm sure it looked exactly like it.
Oh, yeah, no,
Jesus.
For sure. Yeah.
I'm sure it was just like
especially
spinning.
By month four. You're like, Jesus, he doesn't look right, does he? He looks a bit smashed. Well, because we've been digging kidney out of him for 4 months.
It was common for the mince pie to have 13 ingredients to represent Christ and his apostles.
Oh, this is so
normal.
Stupid.
Totally normal. Just normal stuff.
So stupid.
Of course, this meant Puritans hated the mince pie. English Puritans believed mince pies were superstitious, adulterous, abominations, and popish.
Popish? Popish?
Popish? Popish?
Whatever.
Is it popish or popish?
I don't know.
It's probably popish. Whatever. They think it's, Pope related.
Willy, any kind. It doesn't have 13 ingredients in it. We're not crazy.
The mince pie was a purely Roman Catholic creation and therefore evil. They saw Christmas as a pagan holiday.
Sure.
Oliver Cromwell's Puritan Council abolished Christmas on December 22nd, 1657.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Abolished. That's what Fox News is worried about.
That's right.
Yeah.
And yeah, it happened. So they have reason to be scared.
You see, this guy just abolished Christmas?
Yeah, Christmas was not legal.
He canceled Christmas?
Canceled Christmas. It was for a while, too. Mince pie was in a
and then some guy just came back and he was like,
Hey, we're having Christmas again.
It's good.
It's going to be great.
It's good, it's nice.
All those things that we've thought of over the years about how we want to make it better will now do. If you stand under this, you're kissing. We're putting this on the fucking tree now. Right?
Watch the language.
Ah, fuck off. We're back.
What are you doing?
Well, I've got you this for Christmas. It's in my pocket. Ah, you old bag.
No, it's not right for Jesus.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Come on. Come on, give us a kiss. You're standing under the leaf.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Governor.
Right. Yeah.
Oh. Who's this? Who's this little fella? Is this the Governor here?
No, no, you're all right. Don't touch that in front of the family.
Hi. That's our Christmas. That's our Christmas.
Christmas miracle.
Mince pie, obviously in a dark place now, because it's part of Christmas celebrations.
Sure.
In London, soldiers patrolled the streets and would take by force if necessary food being cooked for a Christmas celebration, like mince pies.
So
Christmas raids, Christmas pie raids.
Right. That is crazy.
Some people thought this specifically mince pie was made illegal, but mince pie was not. Christmas
Either
celebrations
way,
were.
What, so, like, festive cooking of any nature was now just like...
they just kicking the door.
Well...
Where's your fucking pies?
All right, give us the goose. We know you're celebrating. Sorry, miss. Give us your yams as well. It's over. We're done. All right, and we're leaving, and no more celebratory cooking. No more religious dishes, all right?
Can I put blackbirds in it?
You what?
Can I put blackbirds in me pie?
Hold on, let me have a word with him. Boy, she wants to put blackbirds in it, won't she? Yeah, man, she knows not for Jesus. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. All right, you could do it, but don't be praying around it or anything fancy like that. All right?
Question?
God almighty, look, we've got a lot of places to kick the door in and make sure they're not having Christmas geese. What?
Can I put a baby on top?
Well, that's... Hold on.
Just a regular
Hold on.
Just right, a regular
right,
baby.
No, honestly, now she's pushing it because now she's saying she wants to put a baby on. What kind of baby? Well, no, she says a regular baby, but it's slippery. Yeah, we think it's a slippery slope, right? You can put a baby, but it can no way be the baby Jesus or the baby Jesus, all right? Now, if you refer to it as baby Jesus, we'll be back and we'll put our foot through your bloody pie, all right? There'd be no more questions either. So don't even sit there trying to come up with one if you've not got it. All right. All right.
Yeah, just be a regular baby.
Yeah, all right. That's all right. But
yeah,
you seem very sneaky. So
it's like a miracle baby, though. Because we had a hard time making him.
Right, now she's really out of it.
He'll be in a little barn.
No. Right, give us your crust.
No.
You're trying to make a baby Jesus on the pie.
No.
Yes, you are. You just called a miracle baby.
No.
Yes, you did. You did.
No, he's...
No, don't even try to be charming. No, babies. Come on. Smash the crust.
No!
Smash the crust.
No, that's the baby Jesus. You killed the baby Jesus.
I knew it was. Quite validating at the end.
So people went back to baking the mince pies round again after... the Christmas celebrations are made illegal. So they look like it has nothing to do with Christ, right? So now it's a secret spy mince pie.
Right, yeah, a mince spy.
So the Puritans who came to New England brought their mince pie hatred with them.
Okay.
Some New England colonies passed laws against Christmas.
Okay.
Plymouth Governor William Bradford called mince pie, quote, idolatry in a crust.
Oh, my God. Wow. I mean, I think we're nuts now, but obviously we have to maybe give credit to humankind a little.
Satirists in both England and America made fun of the Puritans' hate of mince pies. It was the perfect symbol of the Puritans' fanatical rejection of earthly pleasures.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Of course. But mince pie survived underground, living in the shadows through the Puritan rule.
So just got like... dark areas underground would be
secret pie.
It's the ghost telling you about.
Hey, boys, get down here. We've got a little bit of a pie club.
How many you want, mate?
What's that?
There's four. Fuck off. You never got these from me, all right?
Though its reputation took a major hit in the colonies, in 1733, a writer who was sad about the treatment of mince pies.
This guy's reputation, hard to root for.
Yeah, so he's sad about the mince pies' reputation.
Sure.
He wrote, quote, "Inveighed against Christmas pie as an invention of the scarlet whore of Babylon, the devil and all his works."
I mean, I don't have the brain space to figure out what he's saying, but So he's saying the scarlet lettered pie?
Yeah, basically. Yeah. The sweet pie's been ruined
right.
by the Puritans.
Right.
So eventually the Puritan rule of New England colonies waned and the mince pie came back.
Yes.
In the 1800s. It had stuck around because it was still a good way to preserve meat.
How the hell did you stumble upon this?
Like, I mean,
how does this
I
happen?
Wish I could tell you, but it just happened. This guy wrote a great article about mince pie, and then I just started looking into it. And all of a sudden, I'm just, for hours, just looking at every mince pie story in the 1800s in the newspapers and just like reading for hours about mince pie in newspapers. I mean, that's really what my life was this week. Oh, this is a good mince pie story.
Yeah. Honey, come to bed. I can't. I just went down a pie hole.
Really? I was down a pie hole.
You went down a pie hole.
So it sticks around. It's a good way to preserve meat. So as much as you want to try to get rid of it, it's just
sure.
practical, right?
Right.
The other ways are to eat dried beef and salt pork, you know?
Right.
So the gooey concentrated sugars kept bacteria at bay by sucking the moisture out of the meat.
Oh, God. Just the action
right?
verbs in that are just distract.
Hot, sexy.
The sucking
gooey
sucking bacteria.
Yeah. Also, spices act as antibacterial agents. So the mince pie wasn't going to go away because Puritans hated it due to it being practical. Mince pie slowly spread out of New England, down the coast, then into the interiors. By the middle of the 19th century, mince pie was popular everywhere Europeans had settled in America.
Okay.
The popularity may have been due to booze. Mince pie was full of it.
Huh, okay.
An American...
Is that where pie-eyed comes from, maybe?
Oh, I've never... Yeah, it might be.
Might be,
It
yeah.
absolutely might be.
Yeah.
And America was settled by European countries. The top 10 alcohol-consuming countries in the world today are all European.
Right. That's awesome.
Drinking was an important part of American culture from day one. Puritan called alcohol the, quote, good creature of God.
Well, finally.
Yeah.
Some sense.
Finally, they did one thing.
Right.
By 1770, Americans drank alcohol with every meal. Booze was in mince pie.
Every meal?
Every meal.
Huh.
Every single meal.
Interesting. So your morning...
Breakfast cocktail was called an eye-opener.
Oh, man. So everyone was an alcoholic?
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
Well, not everyone. There were some people that didn't, but most people partook.
Okay. Now, let's say you're back in this time. Are mm-hmm. you partaking?
Yeah.
Without question.
100%.
Yeah.
The eye-opener sometimes came in the form of mince pie in New England. In the colonies, everyone drank, even toddlers.
Toddlers. They're already drunk.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's great.
And Americans only drank more.
I mean, it does make, like, I do not think you should do this. Nobody should do this. But, I mean, I would love to hang out with a drunk kid.
Oh, my
like
God.
Like, a drunk, like, four-year-old. Be like, buddy, you are wasted. Be like, I'll tell you.
Yeah, I mean.
I dropped my blocks. I know, I say. I'm all over the place. I can't do it.
Just fuck you, Benny.
All righty.
No,
all
here
right.
we go.
All right.
Yeah, so as... It only increased, too. Americans only drink more and more as time goes on.
Right.
As the 1800s come along, everyone's drinking. This is largely due to corn being grown in the Midwest. So corn starts being grown.
Okay.
Out in the rest of the country, which gets turned into whiskey.
Uh-huh.
So now they have even more access to booze.
There we go.
They were downing 90 bottles of booze a year per person, which includes the millions who didn't drink. So 90 bottles of booze a year is actually way more for the people who actually drank. Because
right.
there are the people
the
who don't.
Yeah. Right. Wow. 90 bottles.
Yeah.
Good amount.
Yeah. With all the boozing came the abolition movement. And they were hardcore, as we've learned.
That was when we had a countrywide intervention.
Yeah.
Right.
They used to cut down apple trees in people's backyards, abolitionists, because you could use it to make apple cider.
Well, you could also eat an apple.
No one did that back then.
They were just busy. They were pie obsessed.
I probably won't do one about Johnny Appleseed, but Johnny Appleseed was actually a guy. He was popular because he brought apples to be used for booze. It had nothing to do with apples.
Wow.
He was there to make people liquor.
Changes the lore.
Loved him.
Right.
So by the mid-1800s, they had abolitionists had their eye on mince pies with its alcohol content. They saw it as a gateway pie to hitting the bottle.
A gateway pie?
I mean, I might have
what
made that
an
up,
era.
But...
What? It's pie pass, my man. So you take two bites of the pie, pass it to your right.
Temperance crazies shunned the pie, and Protestant clergymen also still refused to have anything to do with a mince pie.
It's pie!
Mince pie was so bad that Protestants would sermonize against it.
I mean, if you were there and like, I mean, I have no ambition to go to church at all, but if he's hollering about a pie, I'm definitely like, we should have just skipped this one.
I know. Well, you got hollering pie. You're just like, dude, is there something else that you
and
got?
And from the oven came the sinner's crust.
It's just the Reverend Thomas Wentworth Higginson was an abolitionist and a health nut. And in 1860, he described mince pie as, quote, very white and indigestible upon the top, very most and indigestible at the bottom, with untold horrors in between.
Has he had a pie?
Probably not, because he's Protestant, so right. He probably has never had.
Well, there you go.
But this approach didn't always work. After hearing Higginson's lecture against mince pies in Chicago, a Dr. Collier decided he should try one for the first time. After he did, his cupboard was always stocked with a mince pie.
It mirrors so many other things.
Yeah.
You don't want to listen to that swearing music. We should go get a CD. Like,
we should check
it
out.
Anything that is so
100%.
He's just railing against pie, and then there's people like, we got to get our hands on CD.
Yeah, Jesus Christ, this pie sounds amazing.
Yeah.
By mid-Victorian era, mince pies were considered good luck. So it's switched, right, to the Puritans now. The most of the popular, right? Protestants hate it, but now most people are totally on board with mince pie.
Right, okay.
Except for the temperance movement and the Protestants.
Right.
There were probably a lot of crossover there. Anyone who ate a mince pie, on each of the 12 days of Christmas would have happiness for the next 12 months. That's the
proven by.
No, that's what it's
the
like a
mince pie slogan.
That's what they, it's the good luck mince pie thing.
I'm starting to think we should get rid of Christmas again.
But they had to eat each pie in a different house each night.
This is the dumbest thing I've heard.
Offered by a friend.
What sort of bridge troll riddle is this?
So you thought shopping for Christmas present was a pain in the ass now? Imagine back in the day when for 12 days you had to go to 12 different people's houses and eat fucking pie.
But then
and eat mince pie.
There's a lot of questions, like as far as like people. Nobody's going to be home because everybody's out trying to eat pie at someone else's house.
Yeah, it's a fucking shit show.
You over 12 days have to go to 12 different houses and eat 12 different pies that
biggest,
are offered to you.
It's the biggest pipe mare that we've ever heard.
Here we go. Look who's back.
It was considered extremely unlucky to refuse a mince pie.
Ugh.
As the,
what a nightmare.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yes. Shit. No. Oh. Want another one, Ralph? Oh, shit. Oh,
fuck me.
Yes. Ah.
As the
you guys talk about pie? You want one? No. Yeah.
I want to die.
You just want a pie?
No,
did you say you want a pie?
I said die.
Well, you can't say no. It's bad luck. Here, have two.
Oh, God. I'm going to
So Ralph died last night.
How?
Pie. Pie die.
Oh, that happens.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, no, it's good luck, though. He's going to have a good 12 years or months. Who cares?
As the Industrial Revolution took over, mince pies went from something made in the home kitchen to being cranked out in commercial bakeries.
Finally.
The best kind.
Yeah.
Mass-marketed pies. There had always been jokes about what was in mince pie.
Sure.
Like a popular story about how a man had cut up his old leather pants and served them to friends as the main ingredient in a mince pie. So everyone had
so just kind of
urban
funny,
stories.
Funny
about,
stories yeah, like that about the time that guy put his pants in a pie.
That's right.
Right. So just kind of cute, like, you know, lore of the day about how a guy cut his pants up and fed it to people.
That's right.
Yeah. Just kind of light little tales about normal humans who are just throwing their pants inside of crusts. Sure.
That's correct.
Yep. Okay.
But now that pies were being mass-produced, the mince pie became the original mystery meat.
Okay.
So it's the first mystery meat. Like, you don't know what's in it.
Right.
Charles Dickens' novel, The Pickwick Papers, includes a gross-out joke about a London pie maker who uses stray kittens as his pie filling.
That's funny. What?
This wasn't...
Kittens and pie?
Yeah. Well, there's no way that wasn't happening.
Oh, why? Kittens?
What do you mean? So people hungry. Of course people are going to be grabbing cats and rats and dogs, anything you can, and putting in a pie. Like, if you live in the, if you're in the upper class, of course you're going to be eating geese and ducks, but the poor people are putting whatever they can in a fucking pie.
Okay.
This isn't exactly a stretch because food was unregulated. So there's no regulation in food at this time. So the pies were considered...
Well, there's not now either.
Yeah, there it really isn't. I mean, they've totally rolled it back.
Yeah.
The pies were considered such a who-the-fuck-knows-what's-in-there item that everyone, air quotes, who had known someone who had bitten into a piece of newspaper or buttons or streetcar transfers, like someone, everyone knows a friend, you know, right? My buddy Larry bit into a pie and there was a button in there. Like, it's that kind of thing.
He ate a tire.
Yeah, there's tire in the pie. Jesus. Larry.
So, okay. So some people are just, and now that's just kind of like an urban legend or that is.
Yeah, it's one of those things where so mince pie is such a who knows what the fuck's in there that people are just like making shit up about. No, my buddy, there was a tin can in one.
It's and so is it just because it's minced so like at this point, are they're mincing the meat to a point?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so with the commercial pies, it's just fully minced meat. So you don't know what's in there.
Okay. So it's like meat.
It's like McDonald's.
Right.
Although we'll totally advertise for you. So there's a McDonald's commercial in Germany. A woman is in a tree. She's protesting. She's like one of those people who goes up in a tree to stop people from cutting on the tree.
Okay.
There's a guy on the ground who is a lumberjack or whatever. He's there to cut down the tree. Uh-huh. And they're having a standoff.
Sure.
And then it goes into the night. And then they're both sitting there and the lights of the McDonald's arch comes up because there's a McDonald's nearby.
Uh-huh.
And they see it. Uh-huh. And then they cut to her accidentally dropping a McDonald's wrapper.
Wow. So talk about a 180.
Yeah.
That's cool. So the tree hugger can't get over how good McDonald's
that's
is.
Right. That's right.
Okay, sure.
That's right.
Sure. Well, I'm glad you're watching normal stuff.
Someone sent it to me. Someone just sent it to me. You got to see this one. So commercial pie became the go-to example of a changed America. What was once cooked at home was now came in a can.
So pie cans?
Yeah, mince pie comes in a can.
The whole idea was that it was a can.
Yeah, but now it's you can't ship a pie crust around. You got to ship it in a can.
Right.
So a canned mince pie, does that sound good to you? That sounds pretty good.
Yeah, well, considering that a fresh one sounds terrible, one from a can is always better.
Much better.
Yeah.
America will always find a way to make something.
Oh, the sound it probably made when it came out? Just like the cranberry sauce out of the jar, like the... there it is. There's dinner. There's my pie.
Just fucking reprehensible. Mince pie became the king of pies in America. On Christmas Eve, 1871, the New York Times described a pie wagon driver whose wagon was filled with hundreds of mince pies. So many required two horses to drive it as it delivered the pies to customers. In the 19th century, people who loved mince pie called it, quote, unquestionably the monarch of pies.
Why does it have to be royal?
The great American viand. I don't know what that is.
Viand?
An American institution, and as American as the Red Indians.
It's as American as mince pie.
It's American as racism.
Yeah, right.
Also, more and more booze is being added to mince pies.
Well, that explains some of the popularity.
It really does. According to the Times, mince pie was now a, quote, sacred and cherished American institution, even though everyone agreed, even people who loved it, that it caused indigestion, nightmares, and if you ate too much, disordered thinking, hallucinations, and even death.
What? I mean, the pie side effects read like a pill commercial. What? You're going to have pie nightmares?
Indigestion, nightmares, disordered thinking, hallucinations, and even death.
I mean, like, two of those I want. But, okay, so...
So they're strongly associated with nightmares. Like, mince pie nightmares, just like...
Really?
Yeah. From the Topeka Citizen in 1886, headline...
That is insane.
Yeah.
Okay.
Headline, mince pie, unquestionably the most reliable nightmare hatcher ever invented.
What is happening?
Quote, One plain, innocent-looking mince pie will furnish enough nightmares to go around three or four times.
What does that even mean? It's like the weights and measures don't even matter.
I think he's saying that just one pie he'll eat long enough to get three or four nightmares. So it's going to be over 3 or 4 days.
Right.
I once slept with a personal friend who had recently filled himself with mince pie.
That's a really weird way to say that a guy ate a mince pie. He had filled himself with a mince pie. He had turned himself into a human pie himself.
He was a large, able athlete. I awoke suddenly to find him sitting on my bosom with both hands grasping my sunny locks. Before consenting to share by couch with a friend, I now ask, have you eaten mince pie since last week? If he says yes, I do not trust him. I have all the excitement I need with my own personal mince pie nightmares.
That is the craziest thing that's ever been in a paper, right? I mean, what did he just say? His friend ate a mince pie, and he woke up, and the guy was on his bosom playing with his beautiful hair.
Yeah.
And then now he always does a pie check with his pals.
That's right.
Hey, well, I want you to sleep on the couch with me, obviously, but when was the last time you had a mince pie?
It could have been last week. Within the week. I mean, he's going back a week on the pie. Not even that day.
Probably doesn't have a lot of friends.
During the Victorian era, people got super into health fats. People took all kinds of digestive cures sold by quacks, which fit in nicely with the eating of the mince pies.
Uh-huh.
And diet fads were big as everyone sought to calm their stomachs. One was Fletcherism, named after the diet guru Horace Fletcher.
Okay.
It said you should chew each bite at least 32 times.
Okay. Well, that's quite a lot of chewing.
This would lead to shitting out, quote, a digestion ash in little balls ranging in size from a pea to a so-called queen olive.
Okay, Dave, look, I don't want to, nobody wants to relive what you just said. I don't want to relive it, but what the hell did you just say? This guy is saying if you chew your food 32 times, that's when right. You shit, it's going to be like ashing a cigarette?
It's going to turn into digestive ash. Which is... turns into small little balls when it comes out as poop.
Is he thinking of rabbits?
The size of a pea or so-called queen olive.
A queen olive?
You're shitting out little pellets.
Well, and he's like, this is the way to go.
It's the way to go. It's the most healthy thing to do.
Sure. Is to have an ash hole.
That's correct.
Okay.
It would also, quote, have only the odor of hot clay or a hot biscuit.
Okay. So just not that, again, nobody wants to relive it, but... This man is suggesting that if you chew your food 32 times, you'll poop like a rabbit and it's going to smell like biscuits.
That's right.
Okay, ready to move on. Just wanted to make sure
this
we had
that. This was a very popular diet in America for years.
Great. And people were pellet pooping?
Yeah, well, apparently.
Okay.
But mince was known for being notoriously indigestible. Harper's published an attack on mince pies, quote, "We are fond of pies and tarts. We cry for pie when we are infants. Pie in countless varieties waits upon us through life. Pie kills us finally."
What is that? What sort of weird, dark poem is that? Read it one more time. I'm sorry.
Yes. "We are fond of pies and tarts."
That's a crazy start.
"We cry for pie when we are infants."
Uh-huh.
"Pie in countless varieties waits upon us through this life. Pie kills us finally."
Okay, pie kills us finally. Yeah. It's a great last line. Pie kills us finally. All right.
In 1888, seaman George Humphreys died of yellow fever while out at sea. But after the ship returned to port, a doctor investigated. Turns out, on the ship, they'd celebrated Thanksgiving.
Oh, no.
The cook made a dozen mince pies. Three mince pies were not eaten and stored away in the ship's locker. Quote, "George Humphreys of Bridgeton, who was on watch, became hungry. He ate a pie, then he devoured a second pie, and then sent a third pie homeward." It means his tummy, I think.
Oh, okay.
"The day after his binge, George became ill. He died soon after and was buried at sea." Quote, "Loaded up with pie as he had been, no stones were needed to sink his body. The crust was heavy enough for that."
They say the same thing happened to Bin Laden.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's how he, yeah.
They got him.
It was reported the doctor said, quote, "You do not need to use an anchor. I understand, but merely a tin of pie... merely tie a pie to the chain."
So this is the doctor of the ocean?
Well, the doctor, it's an anchor doctor.
Anchor.
He understands anchors.
Sure.
As well as
ships, it seems. Yeah. Yeah. It's because obviously if you do throw a pie as an anchor.
That's right. It works.
Right. I was just going to finish it by saying it works.
Yep. The Philadelphia Inquirer reported there was nothing wrong with the pies. Quote, not rotten or poisoned or contaminated mince pies, mind you, just mince pies.
What does that mean?
That's what had killed them.
Oh, okay.
They're saying there's nothing wrong with them. They're just ordinary mince pies.
Okay.
But that's what
so
happens.
So now we're about to have pie fever?
Well, no, you gotta, this is the chance you take when you eat mince pies.
Right, yeah. No, it's a definitely risky pie.
But for every scary tale of mince pie deaths, newspapers published poems, essays, and editorials about how awesome mince pies were. The state newspaper of South Carolina wrote how great mince pie was in creating a better America because in the early days, quote, it thinned out the weak ones.
That argument is probably not good. Were people that in touch with reality that they were just like, why can't we be like that now? Yeah, it'll just thin the herd. That's what we mean.
It's the Cato Institute of mince pies. In 1888, lumberjacks in a logging camp were described as eating mince pie three times a day.
That's a lot of nightmares.
In 1899, the Des Moines Register wrote about Charles King, a New Englander who intended to control all pie product in New England. Quote, he claims his pies are sanitary and that henceforth, dyspepsia and mince pie dreams will be unknown in England. Dyspepsia is an indigestion.
Okay. So he's trying to get rid of heartburn.
So he's saying his pies are sanitary and it gets rid of heartburn and
no more
dreams.
Nightmares.
This is the
pie cure.
It's a clean mince.
Right. Okay. Finally. Right.
Finally someone created clean
finally,
mince.
Right.
Kling said he knew more about mince pie than any other man because he was brought up in quote, a pie atmosphere.
Oh, yeah. Well, no. Does anyone need to see any paperwork? Because I think we all trust him. Clearly, he's being honest. He was brought up in a pie atmosphere.
As a boy, he drove a wagon.
My father was a pie. He raised me to be a little pie, but unfortunately, I was a boy.
As a boy, he drove a pie wagon and always knew pie was his destiny.
Yep, so pie atmosphere checks out.
He has devoted as much thought and
time. One time, mother walked in on father having his way with a pie, sexually. He put a glory hole in the crust.
Oh.
His story was eventually turned into a high school romantic comedy.
Wouldn't all pies of the whole of them be called a glory hole pie?
Oh, man.
Because it's glory once you get in there.
Oh. That's how you really freak out the religious.
That's right.
Also, we're having sex with the pies now. Oh, my Lord, my Lord.
Oh, how do I get one?
Oh, my Lord.
He has devoted as much thought and time to pie as Nikola Tesla to electricity.
And both not, I mean, very similar to.
Yes.
Yeah, we've got the pie guy and then Tesla.
Yeah.
Both have done a lot of stuff.
He called his brand of pie the sanitary pie.
Sure.
A lot of New Englanders were upset by his move for pie dominance. The Chamber's Journal, quote, some grumblers objected to the innovation on the ground that one of the chief attractions to the New Englander was the weird and rousing nightmares, which...
Who is this from the tourism department?
So it's like you take an ayahuasca or some shit. They want the nightmares.
Right, right. So...
this is their version of mushrooms.
Right. So this guy shouldn't be doing this. They want cow pie.
That's right. And rousing nightmares, which supervene on the hearty feast of a mince pie and vary the monotony of pastoral life.
So he's like, I'll make pies that won't make us lose our minds. And people are like, you idiot. We eat the pies to trip.
I want to go crazy
at
night.
We're tripping on pie. I got to eat the pie if you want to trip later.
But then I assume that was it because there were no more stories after him announcing that he was going to be the pie
king. So this man just made the proclamation and then that was it because people were like, we like our nightmares.
Yeah, people were not into the sanitary pie.
That happens. That there are certain fish that people like in certain areas like will, if you eat the fish, you will trip.
Really?
Still, yeah, trip hard too. Like
really?
Have crazy ass fever dreams. If you eat like that, you eat the head and that, and you just like go crazy.
I didn't want that at all.
I kinda do.
So also, they started putting less and less meat in pies.
Okay.
After a while, it was just suet.
Is it becoming
coming closer to what you know as a mince pie.
Right, but it's also because they're now able to store food better.
Yeah,
I
think that there's
so the pie is now
there's a change in how you can store meats and a change in how you can do things with
right.
meat. So there's less reason to have it in a pie.
Right. Okay.
But so they still do the suet, which is the the fat, the
right.
beef fat or whatever it is. Mm. Dried fruits like raisins, seeped in brandy or rum.
Mm-hmm. Yep, this sounds very familiar to what I've had.
The temperance movement began to swing the pendulum back the other way. They attacked mince pie because of its liquor content, and the courts did not help either. A judge in Pittsburgh made a court ruling on mince pies in 1907.
Well, okay, the people versus pie.
A man had beaten his wife and children, causing them to flee their home. After learning the man had eaten three pieces of mince pie...
Shut up.
Judge Miller ruled mince pie consumption was extenuating circumstances.
This guy pled pie? Are you kidding?
The judge placed some of the blame on the wife for serving him mince pie.
Oh, my God. What? Your Honor, my client here, unfortunately, was out of his control. He was out of his mind. He'd had three pies that this woman fed him.
You harlot!
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of papers I read, like, mocked the judge for this thing, but it's still a legal
ruling. That guy was like, I can't believe that worked.
Some people agree with the judge. Many did not. The Democrat and Chronicle wrote, quote, the mince pie is denounced as hypocritical, seductive, indigestible, a promoter of nightmares, an arouser of the liver to rebellion, an invitation to man's most vicious impulses to assert themselves and do their worst. All such talk is slanderous, insincere, and reprehensible.
Wait, is that pro-pie or anti-pie?
He's pro-pie. He's pro-pie. Very okay, mad right. about the judgment right, against pie. Right,
okay.
The writer goes on, because he thought mince pie was delightful. Quote, it is a beneficent home influence, a domestic harmonizer, an agency for peace in the family.
This is so insane that nobody can just be like, it's also just pie. Just so we all know, it's also just a pie. This pie made me kill my wife. You fool, this pie will give you strength. You'll be stronger than any man.
If the Chicago magistrate should take the trouble to make a thorough investigation, he would probably find that the unfortunate man whose case had been noted was demoralized by being deprived of mince pie. Probably his wife refused to make it or didn't know how.
We think there was a second pie.
So he literally...
Yeah, he's grassy knolling pie.
So the judge blamed mince pie.
Yes.
And now he's blaming the wife.
Right, right. So at least everybody's wrong.
Yeah, so at least nobody here is saying like, hey, this guy's a dick who beats his family.
Right, yeah, right. That guy was like, I can't believe how well this is going.
No, I wasn't saying anything, sir. I was trying to turn off the ringer.
Pie.
My nephew sent me a message. Bad timing.
Congrats.
So the Chicago... Chicago magistrate. Oh, I already did that.
So meanwhile, the wife is just sort of like, this is fair. I'm glad this kind of went this way.
Yeah, I mean, it's really...
Right.
Later that year, Albert Allen of Chicago was arrested for shooting his wife in the head.
Oh, God. What is about to happen?
Allen explained, quote,
officer, I had a couple of pies that night, and I probably shouldn't have been hollering at her.
Quote, I ate three pieces of mince pie at 11 o'clock and got to dreaming that I was shaking dice. The other fellow was cheating and I tried to shoot his finger off. When I awoke, I was holding the pistol in my hand and my wife was shot.
Okay. Okay. So he killed his wife and he blamed it on pie.
That's correct.
So the stakes are getting higher.
Wow.
Okay.
In 1907, the Secretary of Treasury and Chairman of the Republican National Committee, George B. Cortelyou, was suddenly the focus of presidential talk after an article was published that his lunches often consisted of mince pie. The press then thought he must be running for president.
What?
Because they're saying he's like, oh, look at me. I'm like you, New Englanders. I'm a mince pie eater.
Well, obviously, he's running for president. He had pie.
Quote, some of the Yankee papers insinuate that the publication of the Cortelyou luncheon menu meant the launching of the Cortelyou presidential boom, while others think the revelation of Mr. Cortelyou's pie-eating proclivities makes him the ipso facto and par excellence the New England candidate. Cortelyou apparently also enjoyed clam pies for breakfast.
Oh, my God. That man should not be in charge of anything.
God. I mean, I assume.
Enjoying a clam pie?
I assume that's just like a clam chowder, maybe.
But who wakes Fuck. Up and is like, chowder? That's what I'm in the mood for. Chowder. Ugh. You know what goes great with coffee? Mmm. Some hot clams. Ugh.
The article went on, quote, mince pie has helped make him what he is.
What is happening?
He is not the man to turn his back upon his friends, nor to use them as his ladders.
No, no, this man eats pie.
If he goes to the White House, mince pie will be honored there.
There it is.
Mince pie was the jam. There was no other pie like a mince pie in America. It was eaten as an entree and as dessert, and in parts of New England, as breakfast. It was eaten year-round, though it was more popular in winter. Everyone had mince pie on Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Apparently, we're so fucking wasted on mince pies right now. It's crazy. I can't drive, dude. I had too many mince pies earlier.
Apparently, there was a time when one was supposed to settle down and eat less mince pie.
What the hell did you just say? There was a time when people were supposed to settle down?
When a man was supposed to settle down and eat less mince
pie. Oh, when a man gets little, his partying days are over.
Yes. Well, my pie days are over. I'm looking for a lady to marry.
I'm got to settle down. I've had my fun. I've had my night on the pies. But unfortunately now, I'm a little bit older. I'm looking for a lady to kill when I've had a slice or two.
According to the Trenton State Gazette, quote, this time comes in the lives of some men when they are obliged, for the sake of other members of the family afraid of nightmares, to refrain from eating mince pie.
Well, I've quit pie.
But their knowledge that there are others who appreciate it and who can eat it with temerity and a knife out to give some of them joy, whether it does or not.
What?
So he's living through others who
right,
are
he's living
pie.
Vicariously.
Jimmy! Tell me about the pie you ate, since I can't, or else I'll kill my wife.
Well, I don't want to rub your face in it, yeah. But it's so good. There's so much stuff in it that I'm not aware of.
Maybe it's worth it to kill my wife.
I'm having so many nightmares.
In 1908, when a Yankee physician claimed mince pie was bad for America's health, the New Orleans Daily States paper shot back, quote, the Republican dynasty at Washington may overthrow the federal constitution, the rights of the states, and pluck the stars from the blue field of the national ensign, but the mince pie will continue to be the nation's comfort and pride.
What? Boy, that's quite a hill to die on, isn't it?
They pretty much said everything about America doesn't matter except for mince pie.
Yeah. And you want to tear up the constitution?
Fuck. In 1909, a 50-pound mince pie was given to President Taft by New York.
Oh, God. And he was like, no.
No, he loved mince pie.
But a 50-pound mince pie?
That's a big pie. These are the same.
Because he gained weight in office.
Yeah,
it probably could
boy.
All be associated to that.
It could be the whole pie. It was given to him by New York bakers.
Do you swear to eat the pie, the whole pie, nothing but the pie?
Pie.
Already.
So it was given to him by New York bakers for Thanksgiving, for his Thanksgiving meal.
Okay.
It was delivered in an oak case. He was also sent a 26-pound possum from Georgia.
What is this, Secret Santa? Who's in charge? All right, so what are we going to give Taft? We all know he's in charge. He's a big shot. We want to grease the palms a little bit. So we got our 50-pound pie. Anything else we want to throw in there? I found a big fat possum we should put in there. That's a great idea, Harry. That's a great idea. All right, so we're going to give him a 50-pound mince pie, and then we'll just give him this 26-pound possum. All right, I think that's it. We put a ribbon on it, get her out the door.
Jesus. Mince pie was the main food item Americans longed for when they were traveling in other countries. Once an immigrant came to enjoy the taste of mince pie, it was a sign he or she was assimilating into American life.
You're one of us now.
I feel sick.
Yeah, that's right. You're going to have horrible nightmares. Don't keep your firearms near the bed.
Congress debated making alcohol illegal. At a House committee hearing on a bill to make alcohol illegal, congressmen mocked the prohibitionists. Theodore Sutro, quote, if the law can say to a man, thou shalt not take a sip of wine or beer or whiskey or brandy, it can, by the same authority, say to him, thou shalt not take a mouthful of mince pie. I give it as my firm belief that as many murders have been committed by dyspeptics, whatever, indigestioners, sure. Made dyspeptic by too much mince pie, as by men inflamed by strong drink.
This is not like... it's so similar to all the dumb debate. Like, when does life begin?
Yeah, totally.
When is a pie a pie? When is a pie alcohol? When is it a food?
What comes first, the pie or the ingredients in the pie?
That's a great question.
After the guy made this connection, the committee hearing room burst into laughter. The representative of the Women's Christian Temperance Union said there would be no mince pie rider attached to the bill. The Women's Christian Temperance Union had already endorsed a pie that was made without liquor.
What the hell kind of garbage pie is that?
Thank you. The temperance bill did not pass on that occasion, so the mince pie question was left unanswered. In 1910, Dr. Fenton Turk of the Chicago, gave a lecture during which he declared, quote, "The graceful, self-controlled Turk is the superior of the nervous, lank New Englander."
What does that mean?
He's saying that the Turks are, that New Englanders are weak and anxious, basically. And that Turks are awesome people.
Okay.
The guy's name is also Fenton Turk.
Sure, I was going to.
This was due to diet, he said, specifically baked beans and mince pie. He said the mince pie, which their systems could not assimilate, were slowly reducing New Englanders to brutes. Everyone laughs, then go to a Patriot game. Quote, mince pie and baked beans are bringing about the deterioration of the people of New England.
I love how he throws baked beans in there, too. He's like, plus these beans ain't helping anything. Okay, mix those together.
The Boston Globe responded, quote, "The aspirations cast by the learned doctor on our mince pie and baked beans we can overlook, but we most respectfully resent being rated as inferior to the Turk."
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, so take that.
Right. Yeah.
A few years later, French psychoanalyst André Tridon said all Americans were going down because of mince pie and corned beef and cabbage. He said...
good odor to the people.
Yeah. He said that the natural advantages Americans have over other white men are largely dissipated by the neglect of the American stomach.
Well, it's good to be able to root for this guy, obviously. Yeah,
we have a hero.
Yeah, we finally have a man rises. And the reason why you're no longer fully superior to other races is pie.
You're pie eaters. Quote, "Americans are the worst eaters in the world. Your atrocious corned beef and cabbage and your horrible mince pie are but examples of your unspeakable menu."
And society today was like, buddy, hold up. Oh,
yeah. We're just getting started.
Are you kidding me?
Have you ever had a hot dog pizza?
Yeah, we're putting pizza in pizza now.
When the stomach fails, the race begins to die out. The true American has already begun to disappear. You are too much addicted to your mince pie and kindred gastronomic nightmares to give them up. They will be your downfall. It is the black man who will succeed him as ruler.
Jesus, this guy, what this guy.
He's French.
Yeah, okay. That's still no excuse.
What Trudeau was not aware of was that black Americans loved mince pie as much as whites. So his fear of a black-dominated America due to mince pie was not going to happen. The nation's largest black newspaper, the Chicago Defender, still recommended eating mince pie for breakfast.
Ugh.
Yeah.
It beats clams.
Well, yeah. In 1912, mince pie started to take heat for being bad for young women's complexions.
Oh, there's a lot of twists in this road, Dave.
Yeah, well, now, right, so the temperance union is, the temperance ladies are doing everything they can take down mince pie.
Right, right.
Dietitians had come out against eating mince pies. Several colleges in New England then forbid restricted pies for female students. Leland Russell wrote a beauty column for the Kansas Weekly Capital, and she wasn't having it with this attack on mince pies. Quote, "The girls at Mount Holyoke are not permitted to have mince pie at all. Wellesley girls are allowed mince pies three times a year. What do college girls know about the technicalities of digestion? At the school girl age, there is no sensation in the functions. It is...
I mean, everybody's insane.
It is not a tribute to higher education that they admit they are rearing a class of girls who cannot digest mince pie.
What is going on? It is amazing. It is amazing how it just is like everything else. But now we're at the point where it's like, look... If you're not careful, other races will rise up. And also, women, you can't have any. Okay? Are we clear? White men, go!
Mount Holyoke had indeed barred mince pie, but they did it because it made the girls very tired after eating it, and they couldn't concentrate in class. So then everyone else just ran with the complexion story and took it. It's the classic propaganda.
Right.
The Reno Gazette Journal then satirically wrote that they should use mince pies on patients for surgery.
Oh, very droll. You.
The story headline was, "Mince pies is an opiate."
Wow.
From the Huntington Herald, January 14th, 1918. Headline, quote, "Mince pie and pig's feet. Guess the rest."
I will not guess the rest. What the hell is happening?
Grant Reitzman, night jailer at the county prison, ate heavily of pig's feet and mince pie.
This, what, who, what, single?
Is he single?
Yes.
Yeah.
I thought.
Well, we don't know. He might not be.
Well,
while he dozed,
a diet of pig feet.
He's a prison guard. While he dozed, a nightmare came. Grant began to shoot up the place and was standing on the stone steps of the jail in his bare feet when Sheriff Omar Brown aroused him. He explained that he dreamed a jail delivery was in progress. Obviously, it was because of the mince pies.
Did he end up killing anyone, or he just
if he killed anyone, but okay. He was just shooting at the jail.
He was actually shooting?
Yeah.
Wow.
But mince pies, so it's not his fault.
I'm starting to wonder.
My friend Jesse Aguilar, when we were in college together, he would always say, "I'm not responsible for what I do when I drink tequila." And this is the same thing.
Well, I'm not going
to
fight with your buddy, but...
He's a fun guy.
And he is responsible. What a horrible thing to hear.
He's a teacher now.
Hey, I'm eating three pies, so who knows what's going to happen. You guys might die. All right? I love pie.
When the 18th Amendment was passed and alcohol became illegal in 1919, liquor lobbyists started to carve out a loophole that made exemptions for cooking with alcohol. Their efforts paid off when they won a court case, Chicago's Old Distillery versus prohibition enforcement officials. Booze in the kitchen was back.
Okay.
So liquor could be used.
So you could just bake booze now.
Yeah. So it can be used for cooking, but it was regulated. You needed a license. Still, most of the booze that was supposed to end up in, like, mince pies found its way to the black market.
Oh, weird. Interesting.
But mince pies also changed. It became a booze pie.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm sure it was just loaded with booze.
The Chicago Tribune did a study, and the average content...
Can I get a pie? Can I get a pie on the rocks?
The average content of canned mince pies was 14.12%.
Wow. What?
This is
a
more,
pie?
Much more than a can of beer.
It's a glass of wine.
Yeah, it was more than that. It's like a huge shot of whiskey. At a hotel trade show where the cans of mince pie were available, a man said, quote, "I love pie." His friend responded, "Here's how." Then the two men clinked their plates together like wine glasses and ate their pie. When lawmakers passed and started enforcing food and drug laws, they found most commercial mince pie did not have any meat in it at all.
Yeah. So what? It was just a rum crust?
It was just rum and dried fruits. Mince pie slowly began to fade after this. No one knows exactly what the cause was. There's different theories. The bad commercial version slowly killed off the homemade pie, improved in mass availability of refrigeration.
Okay.
But no one really knows. But what we do know is when World War II came along, the apple pie...
Supplanted
the mince pie, and it became the American pie, and the mince pie just vanished as an American thing. It's still in England.
Yes.
They still have it for holidays.
Yes.
But mince pie, I mean, maybe still in New England, I don't know, but mince pie in America is not something we do for any holiday that I know.
I would be surprised if people knew what mince pie is.
Yeah, I had no idea until I started reading this.
Yeah.
But in England, it's a thing.
Still totally a thing.
Yeah. But
no,
in America,
it's still sold in packaging, still very holiday themed. And
The commercial can pie, like if you're all eating a shitty version of something, you just stop eating it after a while.
Boy, that is crazy. That is just nuts. Okay.
Well.
So, pie. Who knew? Well, Dave, another
I did it.
Normal
I apologize.
Tale from history.
Yeah, and I'm sorry.
Yes, you should be.
Thank you.
Thank you.